For the March 23rd devotional, Chambers has selected a brief diagnostic rhetorical question. It's found in 1 Corinthians 3:3. It reads, "Whereas there is among you jealousy and strife, are ye not carnal?" This question is diagnostic, like the question God poses to Adam and Eve in the garden, "Where are you?" This was not a request for information. God knew where they were. It was a request for them to recognize that they were hiding, and with good reason. It's also a rhetorical question in that the answer is assumed in the way the question is asked. It goes like this: "You are carnal, and you should know it, because the jealousy and strife among you is continuous evidence of this as you seek to create justice, fairness, and an even distribution of things for yourselves." Chambers points out rightly that no natural man can recognize carnality as a problem. What is carnality? It's the handling of life without God's control and standards. The natural man does not recognize the things of the Spirit of God. Therefore, he is not troubled by his own flesh. It is the only way he knows to live. But the believer has the Spirit of God in him, and therefore has this wrestling between flesh and spirit. The man in Christ can recognize flesh. The Corinthians can recognize that carnality is their problem. The question for all of us and for them was, will we? Will we admit this is something that I need to go to God with? There are thousands of evidences of our own carnality: a hair trigger, temper, the fear of any kind of conflict that causes us to withdraw when we ought to at least stay in there and listen to the person who causes us to fear. Jealousy and strife were the two evidences at Corinth. There are thousands of others. Have you asked to be examined? Perhaps something that you have called that you have told yourself is simply a way to, an attempt to live life at a right level, is instead carnality. Ask God to help you see it. He will, and you can see it. Carnality shows several things in our lives. First, the need to repent of carnality as sin, not just as a problem. To say, "God, my carnality is living in opposition to your Spirit's and your Word's leadership in my life." Second, it's a need to surrender and depend to the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard by which we judge carnality. For example, the jealousy and strife among the Corinthians is evidence that they are not paying attention to God saying, "It is better to be cheated than to sue. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." And so God has said to the Corinthians in his word, "Don't right every wrong yourself. Trust me with it." And the Corinthians, by their jealousy and strife, indicate an unwillingness to do that. So we need to go back and surrender to God's word and to spend enough time in it so that we know what it says. Number three, at each victory, give thanks. A friend of mine was laughingly telling me about an experience he had in a store where a clerk was rude to him. She was rude enough so that he immediately went looking for a supervisor who was not to be found. Still angry, he used his phone to call and speak to the supervisor. She was not there, and a message would have to be left. He didn't want to leave a message. By the time the afternoon was over, he said he realized that what she did to him may have been evidence that she was having a bad day, and while she took it out on him, he was strong enough to take it. He stopped and gave thanks to God that God worked it out so that he could not exercise his flesh and would have time to recognize it. Whenever God brings evidence into your life that the flesh is at work, give thanks to him, repent, surrender, move on without exercising the flesh.